The Volume.
Jenkins and Jones is brought to you by FanDuel. It's never been easier to play fantasy on FanDuel. Whether you love basketball, golf, soccer, or any other fantasy sport, there's a contest for every fan. FanDuel, more ways to win. Welcome to Jenkins and Jones on the Volume Podcast Network. It is Monday, August 30th, and we actually don't really have a lot of great shit to talk about today, but we are going to talk about some shit, and we're going to talk about some funny shit, and I promise you, it might be the most snot-laden Booger Boy of the Week we've ever had. The fellas don't know what the Booger Boy of the Week is. I'm excited to surprise it. When I saw it, it only had like 30 retweets. So I think it genuinely might be like clean, fresh into your ears. So I'm excited. As always, Jenkins and Jones is hosted by my good friends, Dragonfly Jones, a.k.a. Tyler.
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
LeJethro Jenkins, a.k.a. John.
What's up, bubbas?
And I am Mike, a.k.a. Guardy B. And let's get into it. We got a little bit of baskety hoops news to talk about. Get some takes off about up top as the offseason continues. Kevin Love was sort of expected by many in the basketball Twitter world to be accepting a discounted buyout to go ring chasing, most likely with the Lakers. Kevin Love disagreed with basketball Twitter's expectations of how he should value American currency, and he's going to receive all of his monies this season. Tyler, were you surprised at this or not?
No, I absolutely was not, because basketball Twitter be on some bullshit, man. We did not hear this from anywhere that Kevin Love was going to do the buy. Everyone was like, oh, you know, Kevin Love, he's going to get bought out, and he's going to sign for the veteran minimum with either the Nets or the Lakers. Watch out. And Kevin Love was like, motherfucker, who said that? You know what I'm saying? And good for Kevin Love, bro. You got that 2016 ring. That is the heaviest ring I've seen in my lifetime. You fucking shut down Steph in crunch time to help lock that motherfucker up. You're good forever, bro. You don't need a fucking 2022 ring. You're straight.
And how many years has he played with Bron? Was it what, three or four? How many years?
Yeah. He was there from 2014 to 2018 with Bron.
Right. So he played, the only time we've ever seen Kevin Love play is with Bron. A few years of his 13-year career, he's used to the fucking doldrums of the NBA, dog. You know what I mean? All he gives a fuck about is that bread, and that's what he should give a fuck about. That's ridiculous to think that he would give up all that money to do something he already has. You said he has the heaviest ring we've ever seen in our fucking time. Fuck that shit, bro. Get your bread, you feel me?
I'll add a couple of notes on there. First of all, the quote was hilarious because he's owed $60 million over the next 2 years. All right.
and he's not a $30 million man. $400,000, bro. Like, what the fuck? What are y'all doing out here, man?
Right, nigga. Here's the quote from his agent, Jeff Schwartz. There have been no talks with Cleveland on a buyout, nor is there any interest from Kevin in doing a buyout.
Like, I'm basically, what the fuck are y'all talking about, statement, you know, released in agent
Jeff,
talk.
Jeff Schwartz dripping with subtext. Just like, are you out of your fucking mind?
And he's going to win. He's going to get that $60 million doing half the work.
This shit. Right.
Kevin's not on Twitter like that. He didn't even know people thought he was stupid enough to try and sign somewhere for the vet minimum.
Do you know how hard it is to chase a ring, too? You know what I'm saying? Like, he's doing $60 million just being a bum. You know what I mean? I'd much rather do that than get paid less and work harder. That makes no fucking sense. You feel what I'm saying? It's ridiculous.
I think the other thing to keep in mind is Kevin Love will live in fucking Santa Monica or Calabasas when he retires. He's going to live in California, and you need $60 million. If you want to live rich for the rest of your life in California, you're not retiring off $400,000 a year, bro. He needs the $60 million. He needs the property tax money, bro.
I would hope he already got that money, though. 13 years in, getting bags, you know what I mean? I would hope he already got that.
Don't you get the sense from Kevin that if he had all the money he ever would want for the rest of his life, that he would retire, though? I don't know.
I don't know. I think we
Kevin loves basketball, and he was extremely fucking good for a long time. You know what I mean? So I wouldn't say I don't think he feels that way. I don't think he. He really loves the game, but I mean that $60 million might be what's keeping him around. You feel me? Like more than the game itself at this point. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I honestly would probably be a bit surprised if he doesn't retire after this contract is up. I'll say
right,
that.
Right.
Yeah, because I was the only thing that fueled my. I was not expecting him to be a Laker for the fucking vet minimum. Okay, I'm not. I'm like a orange level Laker fan. I'm not threat level red. You know what I mean? Like I'm unreasonable, but within the bounds of like the space time continuum. But there certainly have been like plenty of clips of Kevin Love where it looked like he was not enjoying playing uncompetitive basketball. You know what I mean? Where he's just like, this fucking sucks. But to John's point, things could suck a lot for $60 million. That'd be worth it to me.
Yeah. Right. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Is the minimum really 400,000? I thought it was like 2 mil or something. Is it really 400K?
It's 400K in the NFL. I actually don't know what it is in the NBA. I'll look that up. Okay. Right now.
2.6 million, it looks like.
2.6, okay.
$15 million is more than 2.6 million, though.
Right.
2.6 ain't bad, though. Okay. In California, they're taking 55% off of that, though. You know what I mean?
2.6.
That's like a 1.25. It's like a 1.25. No doubt. I would not turn down the vet minimum.
But Schroeder's getting paid more to fucking to play basketball this year. He got a shit deal. So yeah.
Okay, so right before the weekend, looking at the buyout market, it does look like Rajon Rondo is coming to the Lakers. This news dropped about 40 minutes after Rob Pelinka said that the Lakers needed to get younger. we can get Rondo. Okay, cool. That's another dude that everyone's heard of. Let's make sure we bring him back. What do you guys think? You know, John, what do you think? How does this move the needle? Does this move the needle for the Lakers? Or is this just the salad tray on the, you know, the ship at this point? It's like, we already know what's happening.
I mean, I think we kind of Gucci at this point. I don't know if Rondo really makes us better than the teams we aren't better than, if there's teams that we aren't better than. You know what I mean? Like, what he did in the playoffs 2 years ago was great. Do I think he can do it again? I'm not too confident in that. You know what I mean? But, like, regular season Rondo is not something that I'm really excited about. He got on my nerves every second of that regular season until the playoffs. You know what I mean? Where I was like, oh, shit. You know, Rondo is tenable. You know what I mean? Like, so dog, I don't know, man. Like, I'm not too excited about it. It's whatever to me.
Tyler, how do you feel?
They got their point guard for those 8 or so minutes when neither Russ nor Bron is on the court. So, I mean, that solid pickup. You know, nothing to get excited about. So, you know.
Absolutely.
The discussions we have to have.
That's been Talking Basketball on August 30th.
I've never seen him more unexcited about something. You were seriously just extremely even keel about that run. Like,
like I said, he'll keep the Lakers afloat for those 7 or 8 minutes when Nita Russ and Bron is on the floor. So what
do you do, I guess? This tells you everything you need to know about it being late August and still a month away from training camps opening up. But the big basketball news actually of the last 7 days is about the second most watched basketball studio show, which is that ESPN is basically pulling Rachel Nichols off of basketball, has canceled The Jump, and they're looking to build a new NBA TV show around Stephen A. Smith, who everyone just can't get enough of for an hour before a basketball game. So
Stephen A. Smith, reliable there. He's being pulled out the whole reliable. They working that motherfucker to death. God,
he earned his money.
A morning and afternoon basketball.
God, he earned it every dime, nigga.
Shit.
I'll tell you what, Stephen A. Smith would have enthusiastically filled 10 minutes of talking about the NBA today, though. You know what I mean? Like, I credit to him, bro. But yeah, ESPN said there's a little bit of blood left in that rock. Let's put that thing back in the press and give it another squeeze.
God damn.
So Stephen A. wants to do a show aimed exclusively at men 20 years older than us, which I don't know if I agree with that because we're not young. So, but he wants to do a studio show with him, Magic, and Michael Wilbon.
That's the goddamn the Tom Joyner Cruise All-Stars right there.
Right, bro. Nigga. Essence Fest written all over it. God damn, nigga. A whole bunch of jive turkey talk out that motherfucker. I don't know. Who would really watch this? Honestly. I love Mike Wilbon. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I fuck with Mike. You know what I mean? But that lineup as a whole, is there a group of people that would love it to sit down and watch that? Do you really think there's a demo for that?
The demo for that is the waiting room at the dealership when you're getting your car serviced. Like, I don't know if anyone would actively turn
Big Pep Boys. Big Pep Boys vibe. Grease Monkey vibes, you feel me? God damn, nigga.
Oh shit! But nah, they gotta get some young blood in there, man. They gotta get a woman in there. This, you can't do that, bro. You can't throw all the old heads in there like that. What the fuck?
That nigga said. I bet he wrote it up. He had a deck. He presented. Magic, me and Mike Wilbon, nigga.
Nigga, and what? We need a CGI department to remove the sweat. Like alive as the show is going on.
Right. That is wild, bro.
So here's my let's do fantasy sports for pregame NBA shows. I give you Stephen A. Smith. How would you build a desk around Stephen A.? Because first of all, man. I don't know that I like Stephen A. I have a lot of respect for Stephen A., but I don't know that he's a pregame NBA. You know what I mean? I don't know that that's necessarily the show that I would. I don't know that that's how I'd start building the show, even though that's obviously the dude they know they're going to put on whatever they can put him on. But do you think you could build around him like a good table, Tyler? I don't know.
There's one person I think would be perfect, but of course it's contract shit and all that. But I think Nick Wright and Stephen A. would be fucking amazing together. But just on some fantasy shit, like just thinking about it, like I want Vince Staples and Stephen A. to do a show together, bro. I would lock in every day for that shit.
Yeah,
I would want Bo to be the third person for whatever reason. Like I think. Bo is so smart. Stephen A. can't yell over that intelligence. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like, just because he talks more and louder, Bo will hit him with some shit that I think would kind of fuck him up. I think Vince would, too. I think that'd be some real interesting conversations right there. I probably would actually want... I don't even know if I want more Stephen A. I probably would want Bo and Vince. I would love to see those conversations. You know what I'm saying?
That would be
a real, like, not to compare us to that. That would be a real Jenkins and Jones. They would not talk anything about the game that they like. You know what I mean? Vince Staples on a Pacers fucking Pacers Jazz pregame is not going to be talking about that game in the slightest.
But that's actually they'd actually talk about things we gave a fuck about.
We'd actually, yeah, so, no, I'd so be we way might, more into that.
We might tap into a Pacers Jazz pregame just because we know who's actually speaking. You know what I'm saying? And they actually just saying things we give a fuck about. I fuck with that, so yeah.
Vince Staples would be that would be a Dennis Miller move that works. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Dennis Miller was fucking horrible. Like, goddamn.
I remember watching the Dennis Miller shit, thinking this has to be, like, I'm being pranked. You know what I mean? Like, I'm watching Monday Night Football. I'm watching Hall of Fame quarterbacks. And this dude is literally talking about the Knights of the Algonquin table. Like, this is literally happening.
I'm like, bro, it's a 4th-and-1. This does not have a motherfucking thing to do with, like, the Carthaginian Wars in ancient Rome. How the fuck did we get here, dude? You know?
Like, I don't know what the fuck y'all talking about, but that sounds great to me, dog.
No, it sounds great in theory, but it was horrible, bro. Okay. We'll send you some YouTube clips later. Okay, but yeah, okay. I mean, I think the whole Stephen A shit, it just kind of lends to how, you know, the top dogs just, they don't really intrigue a lot of the public anymore. I feel like a lot of people aren't going to, like, you know, ESPN for their, you know, sports stuff. They're going to, like, blogs of their favorite social media.
Twitter, bro. Like, I hardly ever watch ESPN, bro. Like, I hardly ever tap into that shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, how we used to watch TV. Like, I don't think the way that they have shows now, like the talking head shit, it's really not as interesting anymore. That arguing, yelling over each other shit, I'm not tapping in for none of that. You feel me? We have to revamp how the shows are even, like, thought of now. You know what I mean? I think they need a whole new format.
But that's the thing. Like, and we're old. I know we're still hanging on to the end of the demo that they're, but really, like, they want people who are 20 years younger than us watching this. And they're looking for, if there's someone interesting who has basketball opinions, I want to see them on Twitch. I want to hear them talk during the game. You know what I mean? They don't want to hear 10 minutes of arguing before the game starts. Like, so to an extent, for doing a show like that, maybe a Magic Stephen A. Wilbon show is right, because that is it is the Pep Boys demographic they're putting a show on for. You know what I mean? Seriously.
But chasing that Pep Boys demographic is, like, you know, that's death for your corporation. You know what I'm saying? Because when them motherfuckers is out of here in the next, what, you said 20 years older than us? So they got a good 8 to 10 year run. You know what I'm saying? Their demo's gone, my nigga. You know what I'm saying? Like, dog, you can't create content thinking about that demo. That demo is, like, you know what I'm saying? That's not going to keep the company afloat.
I think all three of us, you know, love Inside the NBA on TNT, right? Like, not because of the basketball insight we get, bro. Come on. Like, because they've genuinely put a diverse set of people with different viewpoints on a show together where they're actually believably having the conversations that you have with your friends and doing the stupid shit that you have with your friends. And it doesn't seem forced in the way that every NFL pregame show in history has felt forced. There's no clown walking out going, it's time for the yuckity yuck picks. Like, it's just genuinely someone making Shaq bust up or whatever. You know what I mean? So,
right.
But the problem at ESPN is, like, and we talked about this before with ESPN versus TNT. Like, TNT doesn't beat ESPN at anything else except that. Yeah. And they have that. They just have the best show for that. That's so for ESPN. Like, your challenge is creating the best possible second best basketball show. And it's just not something they're used to doing.
I'm going to keep it a stack, though. They've been catching heat. Like, the youths aren't tapping in the way we are. You feel what I'm saying? Sure. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, that's why they're probably trying.
But unlike ESPN, they at least have the late 30s demo with them.
You know what I mean?
ESPN doesn't even have us, bro.
I would say they got the whole 30s. I think the 20s, though, they like, nigga, these people are mean. Shaq's a bully. You know what I mean? I think they on that shit. You know what I mean? And they probably right. Fuck it.
Yeah.
We just been burned so much. That shit, it ain't nothing to us.
FanDuel Sportsbook is hooking new users up with enhanced 30-1 odds for the first big college football game of the season. That's right. Pick either Georgia or Clemson to win, and you could turn a $5 bet into a $150 payday. I'm going to be rooting for Clemson. I know their quarterback, DJ Uiagalelei, very well as the rest of his family. We've known them since he was in ninth grade at St. John Bosco over here a stone's throw from Long Beach. So always rooting for DJ and the rest of the Uiagalelei clan. Sign up now and make your first deposit to kick off the college football season on America's number one sportsbook. There's no better place to bet college football than FanDuel Sportsbook. They've got great promotions, as I just discussed. They're the number one rated sportsbook app. It's easy to use, and they have fast payouts. You can get paid in as little as 24 hours. So make the most out of college football this week with enhanced 30-1 odds on Georgia versus Clemson. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up using promo code JANJ. That's J&J so they know we sent you. Disclaimer, must be 21 and over and present in Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Virginia, or West Virginia. New users only, must wager in designated offer market. $10 first deposit required, $150 max bonus. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. What a perfect segue of being burned so much into talking about Kanye finally dropping Donda at a cool 26 tracks for an hour and 44 minutes.
On a Sunday, bro. I'm trying to relax, motherfucker. You want me to listen to 26 songs on a Sunday? I might not ever beat that shit, bro.
That sounds like social studies homework, nigga. Yeah, like, the fuck you talking about? Nigga, that's an undertaking, nigga. You gotta prepare yourself to get break the setting, make some food, nigga. You know what I mean? It's like going to a movie, my nigga. You know what I'm saying? Like, I need to get my snacks ready. God damn, man. Fuck all that. 26 songs?
Yeah. Wow.
An hour and 44 minutes.
I was somewhat interested in listening because everybody was talking about it. That 26 songs, like you said, I might never fuck with that shit. Like, Vince, my favorite album of the year is probably Vince Staples, and that shit is 22 minutes, I think. Like, this is a different world, buddy. I don't give a fuck who you are. I ain't sitting down for an hour and a half to listen to nobody's music, you feel me?
It's 20, say he added a Jesus Lord Part 2. It's 27 songs now.
He added
Jesus Lord Part 2. Jesus. I ain't even heard Part 1, but what the fuck?
Jesus Lord Part 2.
Now it's an hour and 49 minutes. Now it's an hour and 49 minutes.
What the fuck?
Are we being pranked? Jesus Lord Part 2? Do y'all think does that not sound crazy to y'all? Jesus Lord.
Donda.
Part 2. Jesus. That's some wild shit.
Yeah.
This nigga, man.
I mean,
I'm
at the point
dog.
Where, you know, there was a part where I bought into everything Kanye did when I was intrigued by the antics, by the promotion. Now I'm just kind of like, I might get around to listening to your shit just to see if you still got it. You probably don't, but, you know, we'll see. So I don't know. I'll probably take a look at the track list, the features. I might skim through that and might give about 3 or 4 of those a listen. But I ain't spending my whole fucking Sunday listening to 26 songs, bro.
27 songs. Jesus is Lord Part 2.
27. I forgot Jesus is Lord Part 2.
The Vice Lords, are in the house. It was tied to me. I think there was a song that I heard on the little preview joint. But other than that, I mean, I might tap into that song. Other than that, it wasn't for me, dog.
If you were to look at the 25 years of my life I've been listening to rap music, a good chunk of that I would have said Kanye was my favorite rapper or one of my favorite rappers or someone who I would have been, oh my God, almost 2 hours? Like, this is fucking great. But that is not 2021, bro.
Bro, we had 2 hours to sit down and do nothing back then. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the way we could live. And if 2 hours wasn't a big deal. Now there's so much shit going on all the time. Our attention spans aren't built for 2 hours of fucking music. You know what I mean? That's crazy.
All right, I wanted to talk. You guys were talking right before you hopped on, right before we started recording, about your parents making you dance for their friends when they were over. And I would love for you to elaborate on that, please.
I mean,
My pops used to like, you know, get drunk and do card games on the weekend and shit at his place when I stay over there. And this was, you know, you got to remember, this was, you know, late 80s, early 90s when rap was new and fresh and innovative. And, you know, he saw me do the Running Man one day and was like, whoa, he was blown away by that shit. Right? Like, wow. And then so one day, you know, one Friday night I'm over here and Pop's waking me up at like 3 a.m, like, hey, do that dance that you was doing. And I had to do the Running Man. No fucking music. In front of my pop's drunk friends, my pop's criticizing me, like, nah, man, that ain't how you did it that one day. I'm like, it's 3 a.m, what the fuck do you, I am 7 years old, it's 3 a.m. Everyone in here smells like whiskey, I'm scared, Dad. Can I go back to sleep, please?
Every time a motherfucker came over, my mom was asking me to do that dance again. You know what I'm saying? And I would do it fast, thinking I could just get it over with. That ain't how you did it. You know, I'm like, God damn, nigga. Of course it ain't. I didn't have a fucking audience, nigga, watching me do this shit. Dance for me. Dance. I'm like, nigga, what the fuck? That shit, I used to hate that shit, dog. Like, And it was always the running man. Like you said, it was running man. That's what she had me do the exact same shit, bro.
A weak ass, you know, running man, bro.
Right, do that.
Like, Pops, you can do the running man if you put your mind to it. Why are you bothering me? It's just simple as fuck.
God damn, man.
If you'd have started flossing, they would have burned you at the stake. You know?
Nick, bro, you see how these kids dance now with the motherfucking... You know what I'm saying? Nigga, that was like level 26, my nigga. You feel me? Damn. Hey, well, I ain't gonna lie to you. If my daughter over here pop locking, do that dance for me, son. Do that dance you did the other day. That shit was hard, nigga. Teach me how to do that, motherfucker. I ain't gonna front, nigga. If she over here, clack, 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 a nigga, run that by me real quick, you hear me? That shit tough. But damn, I hated that shit as a kid, man. Fuck. And I think it's like it's a black experience. Like, I think every black kid had to do the fucking running man from our generation for their family's friends. You know what I'm saying? Jesus Christ, nigga. Right. Do that dance. Oh, shit. Nigga. Right.
Everybody white people exactly make their kids do recitals for their friends. Like, show them what you were just learning at your piano lesson. Like, I would be at my friend's house and their
playing
parents.
Playing Claire de Lune or some shit.
Yeah, like, ooh, play the French bugle. Like, play taps on the French bugle. But I had been, that happened to me twice. I was at my friend's house and their parents made them pull out instruments. Like, I bet Mike would like to see what you were working on.
Right, right.
With your teacher. I was like, I
Gymnopedia
would not like
number
to see
four.
That.
Play that motherfucker.
My mom had a, like, fuck everyone else view of the world generally. So that never happened. But she never did that to me. But what we would do is people would come over and then they would leave. And starting from when I was at a very young age, she would just shit talk that person with me. Like... Like, you see how fucked up her perspective is? Like,
yes.
Okay. We have time to talk about this. So I want to talk about it briefly because I know you both enjoyed this. We don't usually talk about the sports that I cover in Long Beach, but I covered a Long Beach Poly football game last Friday that had a noteworthy ending. That I know you guys were both cracking up at. Poly Hibbett, so they're playing Sarah, which is a private school, but not the way you'd think of a private school. It's like a very high black population. So it's two similar football programs with similar parent groups playing against each other, right?
Is Sarah
Poly
good?
Hibbett down. Yeah, they're good. They're both okay, good. Okay. They're both like in the, you know, 15 to 20-ish in the state type of a range.
Okay.
Great football game. The last six times they played, it's been an overtime or a like last minute. Like, it's just been a great game for the last 10 years or so. Poly's been down. They scored two touchdowns in the last 4 minutes. So they're down 28-27. The last touchdown came with 20 seconds left on a 45-yard Hail Mary for a touchdown. And the parents on the sideline were so excited that they started, they ran out into the end zone to celebrate with the kids.
Grow up, please. And then,
and then Drew.
This is not your touchdown.
And then Drew a penalty flag, which made it a 35-yard extra point, which was left about 7.5 inches short. So Poly lost 28-27 because of that shit.
Look, I hate that happened to the kids. But those parents needed that fucking lesson because I feel like sports parents, they always blame like either coaching or the rest, but they needed this wake up call like, nah, y'all some dumb motherfuckers too. y'all here fucking up too. And they needed this reminder, man. Sit your ass down, enjoy the game, and let the fucking players do what they do, let the coaches do what they do, and let the refs do what they do.
Sit your old ass down. You know what I mean? Like, damn, yeah, dog. Sit your old ass down. That's so ridiculous. You don't fuck the kids' game up, nigga. The kids need to put your ass on punishment, nigga. You're grounded. Go straight
I've never
to
seen,
your room,
it's
motherfucker.
There's some OGs in that parent group, and the kids are shit-talking their dads after the game, which does not normally happen on that sideline, and the dads could not say fucking shit in response. They're just rubbing their necks and like...
Damn. Motherfucker got a whole history, a resume and shit, and they back here like to their child. You feel me?
I was going to interview the Poly's head coach after the game, and we looked at each other for a good 30 seconds, like the Diddy clip where it's just him and dude staring back at each other.
Yeah.
I was just like, do you want to say anything about this? And he's looking at me like, do you want to ask me something about this? I was like, what do we even say, bro?
I love it.
Okay. Let's jump into a Booger Boy of the Week. I'm very excited for. I hope you guys haven't seen this. It's a screenshot from TikTok. And this is posted on Twitter with the caption, "Now, why would you ever admit this?" Okay.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
I'm just going to show you the face of the person admitting it.
Okay.
All right. You ready?
This is going to be a ride. I'm feeling it already.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
I walked in on my ex getting her cheeks clapped, so I tried to fight the guy. He ended up beating my ass so bad, I shitted on myself. And as he was leaving, he told her, "Text me after you clean shitty boy up." They're married with two kids now.
Who is the ex and the? Oh my God! It wasn't the cheek clapping. It was the ass whooping they won. Bro, we talked about this though. We talked about this. Never fight a naked nigga. You can't win. We talked about this. We said this in a podcast prior. Remember we talked about that shit?
Yes, we did.
Walk away, my nigga. If you lose to a naked nigga. That nigga was butt naked. He whooped you ass naked. Dog. Bro. And then you shit on yourself. How did that happen? Niggas get jumped every day, but the shit and shit. One-on-one and you shit yourself. Dog, you never deserved her, bro. She made the right decision. That is wild.
Listen, we have discussed never to fight a naked man. It's, for one, it's too much shit you got to worry about when you're fighting, right? You got to worry about hooks and uppercuts and jabs and knees. And now you're going to throw a dick in the equation, bro. That's too much. You know what I'm saying? Y'all can set some shit up, get that man's information, and y'all schedule a time and swab it out when everyone is fully clothed if you really want to take it there, bro. But don't fight a naked motherfucker, man. There's nothing for you to gain there.
There's really nothing for him to gain by fighting a nigga, period. The man already won. He is fucking yo chick, dog. It's over. It's over, dog. You lost, my nigga. You know what I'm saying? Like, why even fight at that point? You feel me? Like, that's crazy, dog. Anyway, man.
And
Jesus.
And he turned your clothes, which was your only advantage in the situation, into a liability. Because now he's standing there naked, covered in fluids, and you're laying there clothed with poop in your underwear.
Bro. Hey, we got to finish. We can't end the pod on this, dog. This is a bad note. J.R. Smith has been tweeting out his experience as an A&T student. That's some pure, beautiful shit. I love that. Let's end the pod on that note. We're rooting for
Tyler,
you, J.R.
Are you DMing J.R. Smith? Like recommendations on where to hang out on campus?
Man, I'm trying to hit him up, man, and be his, you know, his little A&T homie, but he ain't hitting me back, man. We'll see. I'm heartbroken, JR. We're family now, bro. Holler back at me.
Pick up the phone when a real nigga call, JR.
For real. We brothers in that blue and gold right now, goddamn it. Shit done changed.
Shit. I want a live
show. Yeah, but shout out to JR. He said he joined a group on the group shit, and no one believed it was him and shit.
Right.
Like he's having quite the experience. I'm happy.
He said somebody people be hitting him up like, who's doing your homework? He's like, shit, me. I'm trying to learn something for real, nigga. Like, I'm really trying to learn. You know what I mean? Like, talking about the book assignments. English is my first language, but this English paper, woo. Like, this shit, like yeah. But it this English different. This right. I remember being in English 101 my freshman year, like when it was a Shakespearean ass shit we was reading, I'm like, why he gotta say it like that? You know what I mean? Like, why can't he just say this? She broke it down really beautifully. She's a professor for a reason. I learned why he said it in that way. But yeah, man, I remember like being shocked. I was like, this ain't the same English that I grew up on, my nigga. You feel me? Shit. You know what I mean? I had college prep, all that shit. You know, like the reading assignments during the summer, all that shit. But like that Shakespearean shit is different, bro.
What were you guys, what was your subject in school? What were you good at? English was the only thing I was ever like good at. Like I never got less than an A in an English class, but I like biology in college. I was like, I literally did the math on what I needed to do to get a C, like on the first day. You know what I mean? Like, okay, so if I don't come, but I get a B on this test and a D on this test, I still get a C.
Yeah. I would say English and history. I was good at any type of math shit you do in the, oh my God, why? No. I was horrible at math, but English and fucking history, words and people and shit, yeah, that was my thing.
In college, I didn't give a fuck about nothing. Like, I just, oh,
you,
I mean, I
you
was
didn't
just
even
like,
care about your art shit, right? You were just
I mean, I remember, Jesus, this is embarrassing. But I think I've told about it. I flunked art because I went and hooped instead of going to the art school, you know, going to art class. It was Friday. We was playing NBDL. There was NBDL at the time. You feel me? Some college players like Mateen Cleaves pulled up to play. Nigga, I'm not going to art class, motherfucker. I'm trying to go play Mateen Cleaves, nigga, in the fucking gym. You feel me? But no, man, like I'd say in high school, I didn't study at all. Like high school wasn't that difficult. You know what I mean? Like math, science, all that shit. I would do good on the test and then I wouldn't do the homework. You know what I mean? I would do good on the test, not even study. Wouldn't do the homework. But I would say like college, the courses I really liked in college, I mean, if it didn't really have something to do with art or social studies, I just wasn't really interested. Social studies was interesting because it was history, like learning all the historical shit was fun. But yeah, like science, biology, I'm like, nigga, fuck out of here. You know, and I was a finance major, so I was decent at math, obviously, but I was not good at it.
You didn't have a subject you were looking forward to.
And not in college. I didn't give a fuck. I'm just trying to get the fuck up out of there. You know what I mean? Y'all actually like enjoyed college classes? Were there some college classes y'all enjoyed? Shit, yeah. I didn't enjoy none of that shit, bro. I was like, let me get the fuck up out of here.
So I enjoyed, Char went to UCLA. I went to Long Beach State. I enjoyed her college classes that I would ditch my college classes and go to because at UCLA they had, I forget what it was called, like Fiat something. But the idea was that everyone would take a one unit class every quarter that was just for fun. That was just like, here's some cool shit that an expert professor is going to teach you about. It's not really fucking with anything, but it was like she had one on plants. It was like plants in the future or something. And it was like, I went to that class with her twice and I was like, this is interesting. And there's no, like, they weren't doing papers. They were just like learning. I loved that. And I love the English classes in my major, but the like general ed stuff at Long Beach State was ass. It was terrible. Like it wasn't like, it was kind of remedial and it was not enjoyable. Like the subject wasn't enjoyable for me either, but I liked the English stuff and I added a philosophy minor because I liked sitting around talking with high people about philosophical questions, which is basically what that minor was at Long Beach State.
My mom talked to me about, like, I was talking to my mom yesterday. She said in her philosophy class, I think it was like the 70s actually. She said like, she had a hippie ass teacher at University of Colorado. And they were, and one time she walked in, they was passing. The teacher took a few hits of the joint before teaching the class. She said, I don't need to be in this class. She was like, fuck this. I'll just take the test and shake. You know what I mean? But like, yeah, I would always test into like real, like into good courses, but I never really liked school ever. You know what I mean? Like I would test into college prep, test into talented and gifted and all that shit. But I never really enjoyed the process of school. You know what I mean? Like I'd be reading other books that I wasn't supposed to be reading during my summer reading because it was more interesting than the books they assigned to me. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I don't think I ever really truly fucked with school, to be honest. You know what I mean? Like, so no, I didn't have a class I enjoyed. I just wanted to get that motherfucker over with. You feel me?
I feel
I had hella classes I enjoyed, bro. It ain't too like, I mean, I had cool professors and shit. Of course, you know, I was always in class with a homie or two. So class at A&T was fun as fuck, bro.
And basically, Tyler's basically telling you should have gone to an HBCU, which I know is how you already feel.
Yeah, that's my only regret. That's my only regret. I've never had a black teacher in my entire life, dog.
Really?
I've never had a black teacher, not one time. Never had a black teacher. Maybe that's why I didn't give a fuck, nigga. I never had, bro. I mean, like, even like in high school, like in, yeah, sec, yeah, no, no, no. I did not, never had a black teacher. You know what I mean? Not one time. So I was like, yeah, I mean, this shit. I remember my freshman year in college, in high school, I was in college prep English. We were reading To Kill a Mockingbird. And that's the reason I didn't read it till I was in my 20s was because she was allowing the white people to say nigga while reading the shit. You know what I'm saying? And I was like, man, fuck this shit, dog. I hated that book until I actually read it when I was older. But like, yeah, my growing up in the South, and my school was probably like 40% black. 30-40% black in high school, you know what I'm saying? But never, we didn't have no black teachers. I was in Alabama, you know what I mean?
Bro.
And even in college, none.
I had a professor who went to Morehouse with Martin Luther King, and he was Martin Luther King's homie. And he, you know, told the class that one day, and this one dude was like, man, you ain't Martin Luther King's friend, you know what I'm saying? And you know, the teacher just let it slide. Then the next time we met, teacher comes in, you know, he's talking, and he just hands the dude who said he wasn't Martin Luther King's homie a stack of pictures of him and Martin Luther King at Morehouse that he passed around in class. Didn't break stride once, didn't blow to nothing, kept teaching while he handed that dude like 5 or 6 pictures of him and MLK being homies in Morehouse. That shit was crazy.
I would have listened to that nigga. That class would have probably been fun, you feel me?
Yeah,
I never really had no real, real cool ass teachers that I fuck with the teacher. You know what I'm saying? Miss Krell in 10th grade was cool. In 11th grade, Miss Pinkett. But other than that, you know what I'm saying? Like, nah, man. In and out that motherfucker. And I had a 3.8 my last year. And the only reason I got a 3.8 in my last year in high school, because my mom said I had to get a 3.8 to keep my car. You know what I mean? Before that, I had a 3.0 flat. So I just did my homework. That's the only thing I did different. I just turned in my motherfucking homework. I would just do just enough to get B's in classes, bro. Like, I'm going to do, you know, because it was like 75% of the grade was a test. You know what I mean? So I'll do like
5%.
That's like a fourth of the homework. I would do like a fourth of the homework. You know what I mean? A fifth of the homework. But yeah. So yeah, man, I didn't give a fuck about that shit, dog.
And yet here you are with one of the, actually with the internet's best book club, by far the internet's best book club. We will be on Thursday talking about the second half of They Can't Kill Us Until They Kill Us. So please make sure, class, please make sure you've read the rest of the book. I already finished it. I'm excited to talk about it. It's good. We got Tyler's. Did you see? Hey, you remember a couple weeks ago I made a joke about you need to do a whole pod in that voice? someone tweeted me and said, we absolutely do not need Tyler to do a whole pod in that voice. No. Thank you very much.
We do not. You're absolutely right, anonymous Twitter guy or gal. Yes.
So, all right, we're talking about the rest of the book on Thursday. We'll be back then. We'll see you guys later. Bye.
Bye.